Hello, everyone, and welcome to Incredible Critics Podcast. Incredible, not because we're great, but much like our ability to use our webcams this week, our credibility is seriously in question. Joining me today is actually, I'm going to hand off the captain's chair to Frankie Number Two Fusco.
Hey, Andrew, where is Ben and Tim? This is not what I signed up for.
Yeah, neither of them were very clear on what they were doing this evening, but I can only assume that Ben is trying out for America's Got Talent yet again. What is this, his fifth consecutive year?
It is, or fifth year, but 10th season. So, I mean, you'd think he'd get the hint.
You know, maybe fifth time's the charm.
Well, hey, listen, that happens. We're also joined today by someone who you're claiming is your roommate, but every one of our listeners and myself know you live with your parents. So, hey, Austin.
Austin's my dad.
I am. I've aged incredibly well.
But seriously.
Here I am.
Way better hairline, too.
Thank you. Yeah, I actually stole everything from Andrew. So I figured that since I gave him life, he could give me his hair.
Perfect. Well, listen, good job and good choice in your bets and whatever life path you chose to get that full head of hair and not give any to your son.
Appreciate
no,
that
I gave him enough, especially privileges and allowances that he didn't need.
You gave me the facial hair, so I'll take that.
I did trade off that because I cannot grow facial hair.
So you are Andrew's real life roommate. You made that decision. Like, you were like, you know what, we should get a place together. And when you said that, you were talking to Andrew.
Well, I'll give Andrew credit. He actually owns a house. Well, I guess technically he says he owns a house, but really a bank owns a house and Andrew pays the money to let him stay here.
Mm-hmm.
For like 30.
I think his parents own the house and then they just are not there right now.
Don't tell my mom and dad. They don't know Austin's here.
let's not say the quiet part out loud now.
Well, that is impressive. And congratulations to Andrew for almost being a full adult.
Thanks.
We look at you and we go, wow.
Just take it one day at a time. One baby step at a time.
Okay,
How have you been, Frankie? What have you been up to?
What have I been up to? I just got back from a long trip in Las Vegas that was work related.
Really?
Yep. And before that, I was on a bachelor party in Asheville, North Carolina. So it's been a busy 10 days.
That sounds like it easily could have been one trip.
It's definitely right. You know what's funny is I talked my buddy out of Las Vegas for a bachelor party because I was
probably
just like,
smart.
We're not those people. Like we are let's go and play video games all day type people. Like we're not the let's go party in Las Vegas and spend billions of dollars on a bachelor party.
Honestly, your first
choice
sounds
like,
better.
Oh, sounds like it'd be fun though. Well, in retrospect, if I would have known I had a work trip the next week, they asked me to come on a work trip like 2 weeks prior to the actual trip. But if I would have known beforehand, I'd be like, yeah, let's do Las Vegas because I could just stay there instead of having to fly from
Save
drive to
time.
Asheville and then fly up there.
Yeah, for real.
But it was a good time, man. It was a good time. Anything new going on with you?
Working, shooting football. Nights are getting colder, but it's fun. We have one of our local teams has gone further than they ever have in their school history. So we'll see how that turns out. They look favorable going into next week. So it might be a late football season for us.
What is next week? Like, what is the realm, the level of championship?
State quarterfinals. And
nice.
Yeah, it's going to be intense. It's a Canton area high school, really, really tiny town. Like, if Ben thought Wellsboro was small, he hasn't even seen Canton yet. That's where this school's from.
Yeah.
They're going up against Old Forge.
Canton, like, about half the population of Wellsboro.
Probably. Yeah, if you could believe it could be any smaller.
I'm impressed that your local school has enough children to make a football team.
Oddly enough, I guess it's just a bunch of strong farm kids or something. I don't
That's
actually
fair.
Know what most of the population of Canton does, but it's rural, probably something like that. Good kids.
Farm kids is probably a good guess.
Yeah,
Andrew,
all that hay has yielded some profit.
and Austin, update us on your life. What's going on, man?
I actually today just started my first day at a new position at my job. I work at
Congratulations.
A local, thank you. I work at a local nonprofit organization that works with the county children and youth services, and I'm working with what's called the ACE program. Shout out to my new boss, Shelby Rush, who may very well soon be listening to this because she is very much into podcasts.
Hey, nice.
Real excited when I told her. Director.
Yeah, no, this is a bad one. She's going to be like, that's your roommate? You're not.
Yeah, right? Like, he doesn't even have hair. What's going on?
You're staying in your roommate's parents' house? Like, what's going on? I thought you were an adult.
She's going to be very confused about my home life, and she's going to, like, be too polite to ask. So I'll just let her sit there and let her have whatever weird, inaccurate assumptions about my housemate as possible, and then I'll slowly chip away at that with anecdotes.
Listen, congratulations on the promotion, and hopefully your boss never listens to this or watches this, or definitely not both.
Yeah, I can't say I can guarantee to keep her away because she may very well convince me to point this one out after I told her about my forays here, but we will do our best to never let her see this so that I may keep my job.
There you go. That's whatever's more important to you, you know?
Well, I do work with children, so I know that I am also prone to say things that are
not. Oh, children love our podcast. That's not a problem.
I mean,
you mean like my son Andrew, who is on the podcast? Yeah.
Our podcast makes no sense and it's short, so children love it. And we have one guy who looks like a Muppet, another guy who is actually trained in Muppets. So we're great there. Guys, today Andrew came up with a great idea, which is something I do not say often, so you might want to clip that sound. But Andrew came up with the idea of movies that are so bad, they're good.
Before we talk about that, though, I think we can lead into it by discussing what's on. So yeah, Frankie, the idea for this topic came from what Austin and I have actually watched recently. Austin, you can start with the first one that was inspired by Riff Tracks.
Wait, which one was inspired by Riff Tracks? I was gonna go with the one with the big lizard.
Birds and Demics.
Oh, yeah. So this is what we're stretching back. So yeah, the first one that we watched recently with a friend of ours, Klein, was the indelible classic that will live on in the archives of the Library of Congress forever, Birdemic.
And Birdemic 2, if you can believe there was a sequel.
There was a sequel. And I thought that certain movies that we will talk about soon were very bad. And I didn't fathom the barrel of bad movies could go lower than it did. And in fact, I don't know if this was the barrel. I think this might have gotten through the bottom of the barrel, and we're now burrowed somewhere deep into the earth, coming out through to China. So basically what I'm saying is it's Mao Zedong's fault.
That's what unleashed this torrent of bad movies that we've been watching. Leading up to our most recent endeavors, we watched the 1998 Godzilla movie starring, gosh, help me out.
Matthew Broderick.
Thank you, Matthew Broderick.
And not Back to the Future's star. And I'm forgetting his name now, and I feel slightly ashamed.
We're two for two on forgetting. Either way, that's how memorable these movies are.
1998 Godzilla. Is that the P. Diddy Godzilla?
Yeah.
That one's amazing. What are you guys talking about? That is probably the best Godzilla that has ever come out.
Stop! No,
it is better than all the other Godzilla. Do you not remember the P. Diddy music video or the Puff Daddy music video? I think at the time
I don't remember the music video because I never saw it. But I will say that unironically, this movie holds a place in my heart because it was like the second movie I ever saw in movie theaters when I was 4 years old. My loving mother took me to see a PG-13 movie about a giant lizard destroying a city at an age when I was so young that I did not understand that the city was not actually being destroyed by a giant lizard.
Which I believe in this one, it's nuclear chemicals that turn a iguana into Godzilla.
It's inferred, yeah, that it's a Galapagos iguana or something that is mutated and not actually just an ancient creature.
You think they would have went with like a Komodo dragon or something?
It's funny. It's considered so bad by most Godzilla fans that Japan's completely written it off to the point where they don't call it Godzilla. They just call it Zilla. And there is a Godzilla movie where Godzilla basically just tail slaps Zilla out of existence. It's just like he's in there for like what, maybe a solid 2-3 seconds.
You've seen it. Let me tell you, this one's great because this Godzilla is actually kind of adorable. You know, every other Godzilla is just fugly. This Godzilla is like, he's kind of cute. You know, you're kind of like, ah.
So I give him a little chin scratch. Yeah, I always feel bad at the end when he gets shot by the missiles on the Brooklyn Bridge and he dies. It makes me sad every time, even as an adult.
That's what's so strange is the movie is so conflicted in its message and what it's trying to get you to feel, and it doesn't commit to any of it. Like, hey, this creature's kind of majestic and we caused this problem. Let's murder it and all of its babies. You should feel bad, but also don't, because we want you to care about the human characters that survive. It's such a bizarre movie. A very entertaining watch. We were cackling the whole time we watched it. Our movie crew got together for it. But that was just one. I have a feeling that Frankie's going to like the second movie we watched, which was Daredevil starring Ben Affleck. Did you ever see that one?
I did. I mean... No, I you know what? I probably didn't mind it as much until the Daredevil TV show came out, which was just unbelievable.
Right?
Amazing. Such an amazing
so good
work. Daredevil with Ben Affleck, though, I mean, it was
a product of its time.
Yeah. Jennifer Garner.
It was certainly a movie.
It was something.
So are you guys considering these movies so bad that they were good? Like you actually enjoyed watching them?
So like that's kind of the line.
They can provide entertainment value against all odds, considering their quality. Yes,
that's kind of the line. I think that we can introduce some of the discussion on this is I don't necessarily think that they're so bad that I don't know if all of them I'm convinced are so bad that they're good, but some of them are certainly more fun to watch and make fun of than others. One that wasn't as much fun to make fun of as I thought it would be was a revisit of what we just watched yesterday, Twilight. I had not seen that since I was a teenager and remembered it being terrible and figured, hey, we can all get together and roast this. And it was not as enjoyable to roast as I thought it would be. Like it's roastable, but it wasn't the same amount of fun as Daredevil and Godzilla.
It's more so one of those bad movies that makes for a good drinking movie, because the drinking makes it more fun and tolerable. He says, speaking from experience of watching all of the Twilight movies and drinking to them. Not at once. Would have died.
Have you seen the Twilight movies, Frankie?
Oh, I saw every single one of them in theaters.
Same. Did you enjoy them unironically?
When they came out, I did enjoy them unironically, except for the last one is horrendous.
Breaking Dawn or
Breaking
something?
Breaking Dawn Part 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever finished them, to be honest.
It ends.
Yep. Certainly the story.
I don't know that I would say they're so bad they're good. Like, I don't go back and rewatch them and think they're good. Like, none of the acting in it is good. The story is horrendous,
and I guess that could lead into our discussion, Frankie. But first, what did you watch recently? What's been on in the Frankie household?
Oh, I have been rewatching Cowboy Bebop, the original anime.
Nice, in prep for the Netflix live action show.
So the Netflix show came out last week.
Yeah.
And I was going to start watching it. I'm like, you know what? It's been like 10 or more years since I've watched Cowboy Bebop. I'm like, let me go back and rewatch the anime, the cartoon, and see if it is. I don't think they're related, right? Same characters and everything like that. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure where. I don't know anything about the TV show. I didn't really watch the trailer. I don't watch anything about it. So I don't know if it picks. I know the episode titles are not the same, so I don't think it's the remake exactly of the first season. But I'm curious. You know, I was like, well, I'm very curious to compare it to, because I love the anime. I love the cartoon growing up. So I'm rewatching that to see, you know, remember everything that happened in it, remember all the bad guys and the overarching storyline,
right,
and see if it compares at all to the new one. So. And I am about halfway through. I'm on like episode 12. I think there's 21 episodes.
Are you enjoying it as much as you remember?
Yeah, you know what? It's so funny because unlike this came out, Cowboy Bebop came out in like 98, I think.
Something like
or,
that.
Or 97. And it holds up. And there's not many shows that you can say that to that hold up after that long, right? I mean, we talked about how
the soundtrack's so good.
Soundtrack's great. Like I was rewatching Family Guy, like just on the TV in the background, like as something to do, right? So something's in the background, I can watch it as I'm working or things like that. And it does not hold up. Like
the early sequels.
Yeah, it is just, it is not funny anymore. Like it is not, like the old episodes are just kind of cringy and like the animation's not good and like the stories are bad and they're not funny and it is what it is, right? It's just real rough, especially the first like three seasons. And this is older and yet it's great. Like the jokes are funny when there's a joke, you know, the story is great. The animation is great. Like it's crazy that something this old can hold up so well. And it does.
Yeah. Now 1998 is when it came out. And wow. We've been watching a lot of 90s stuff recently. Well, I guess Daredevil and Twilight were 2000s, but Zilla.
And let's get into our topic, because I want to hop into this. I want to tell you something about the movies you just mentioned, so go ahead.
Yeah. Main topic, what movie or movies are so bad that it's good, or at least fun to roast? I think that there's a line to be walked here, Frankie, because we discussed earlier in our Facebook chat, things like Cats are so bad.
Yeah, but they're not good.
But it's not even good for roasting, for making fun of. It's just misery. So how'd you want to start this, Frankie? What's your picks?
So here's what I was thinking, right? And how we pick the movies, and I should have told you this, guys, beforehand, so you don't have to follow it anyway, shape or form. But what makes a movie so bad that it's good, right? So I feel like we should go off the Rotten Tomatoes score, and neither the critic or the audience can rate it higher than a 50%. It has to be 49% or below. Let me tell you something. Godzilla, critics, 15%. Audience, 28%. Together, they don't even equal 50%.
Wow.
Daredevil, 44, 35. Twilight is where you have your issue. Critics are at 49. Audience is at a 73. But I bet you if I search Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2, it is not that high. But what... So go ahead. Do you have any other movies that you guys watched that you really can think of, or you haven't watched recently, but anything you think of comes to your mind that is so bad, is done well, horrible, everyone pretty much hates it, but it's actually good. You enjoy watching it.
I was going to say, stuff like The Room is kind of a given easy answer because these movies are terrible, but they're enjoyable for different reasons. With that kind of criteria for it, I'm not sure I have anything off the top of my head. Do you have any thoughts, Austin?
With that criteria, I'm racking my brain. I'm sure that some of the movies by the famous bad director Ed Wood that I was talking with Andrew about before we started might qualify for that, although the audience score might push it out of that criteria just because people acknowledge it as being those movies as being so bad that they are very entertaining, such as the indelible classic sci-fi film Plan 9 from Outer Space, or his first film, which is best described only as a fever dream titled Glenn or Glenda. There is...
I've never heard of either of those movies.
Your life is better for it.
But if they're so bad they're good, it makes me kind of want to watch it.
I mean, if you go into it understanding that what you're about to watch is complete, just insanity, especially Glenn or Glenda, it is certainly probably worth an interesting one watch. And if you ever wish to return to that Alice in Wonderland-esque trip of visual imagery and storytelling, then you may take that journey, because it is, I can't even describe it. Now, Plan 9 from Outer Space is bad in a different way insofar
that's
as it's just
an old sci-fi movie, right?
Yeah, I think from about like 1959 or 69.
Okay, yeah. Well, I feel like most movies that old are that bad. It's good.
Yeah, it's just a display of just complete incompetence in all aspects of filmmaking, directing, set design, acting, writing,
so
lighting.
What's good about it? It's just entertaining.
It's
to see
the
how bad
fact
it is.
That the it's one of those things where there's an intangible aspect to it that, despite everything being so terribly bad, there's a certain like heart to it, because the man really did try. He tried very, very hard. And I think that, as with a lot of art, you can just tell without really being able to describe when someone is at least being genuine and putting their heart into it. And so there's a certain, I guess maybe charm is the right word, to them, that kind of comes through. Because Ed Wood, while he was an absolutely abysmal director, did love movies, and he did want to just make good movies, and he certainly made movies, technically.
I have a couple of audience input. My friend Ethan Chabala said Roadhouse, and my friend,
oh my God,
Sarah Holton
first
said
off,
In the Line of
Roadhouse.
Fire.
Roadhouse is one of the best movies of all time.
But I've never seen it.
Unironically.
That's
right?
Wrong. Unironically. This is a great, it is in 1980, and I take that back. It's not one of the best movies of all time, but it's one of the best movies of the 80s. Like, it is your key night, one of your 1980 movies. Like, if you are into the 80s movies, Roadhouse is like, everyone talks about it, things reference it. It is just an awesome, crazy movie. It's just about a guy who is a bouncer at a bar, and that's pretty much all. And he just beats the crap out of people.
Nice.
Starring Patrick Swayze. That's pretty much the gist of the movie.
It sounds entertaining, to be honest.
People hire him to be a bouncer at their bar because apparently in the 80s, you could just go into bars and like kill people, and people they're like, all right, whatever.
Sounds like Austin's Monday. At his new position.
I wouldn't expecting us to discuss that in public, Andrew. Son, I'm going to take away your allowance.
Whatever, Dad.
I have a movie for you guys. I have two movies that fall into this list. I will embellish a little different, because I actually enjoy watching these movies. I don't think they're enjoyable because they're so bad. I just think they're fun movies. But they are really bad. I mean, just the way about it. I'm going to go with 1999's Wild Wild West.
Okay.
It is horrible. It is horrible. Here's a fun story about Wild Wild West.
That's the one with Will Smith in it, right? That he
turned
Matrix down to be in.
Yep.
The infamous.
With Will Smith. And who's Kevin Klein? No, it's President Grant. I forget.
Yeah, Kevin Klein's in it. Robert Conrad. Selma Hayek, Kenneth Branagh.
Kenneth Branagh is in that movie? My Lord.
Yeah, it's a star-studded cast. I mean, let me tell you. But a fun story about it. So the movie was produced by, I'm going to get the guy's name wrong, I think it's John Peters. I'm going to look it up real quick while we do that. But there we go. So before he did, so it was John Peters. Kevin Smith tells a really funny story about this. So John Peters was supposed to produce a Superman movie starring Nicolas Cage back in the mid 90s. Really? It ended up getting scrapped, never happens. John Peters hired Kevin Smith to write a screenplay for it. So Kevin Smith wrote a screenplay. John Peters gave Kevin Smith three roles. One, Superman's costume had to be black, not blue and red, because he didn't like the blue and red. Two, he never wanted to see Superman fly. Three, in the third act, Superman had to fight a giant spider.
Oh my goodness.
Giant mechanical spider. Movie ends up getting scratched. John Peters ends up going on to produce Wild Wild West. Their costumes are black. No one flies. And there is a giant mechanical spider at the end. What you'd expect from the Wild Wild West. He thought this was the key to success.
I need to see this movie.
And it was not. You never seen Wild Wild West?
I have not. I've seen many clips. I've seen parts of it on TV. Never all the way through.
There's just so much wrong with it. Like, as far as like why it's just not good. And like, you're like, it's just so, it's not supposed to be believable. It's supposed to be based off of the TV show, The Wild Wild West, but it just goes so far past it. Like, it's supposed to take place in the Wild West back in the, I guess, late 1800s. And none of the technology matches up. Like, it's just, it's just kind of crazy. And then the other one that people are going to get on me, especially people who listen to this podcast, all two or three of them. But I love Batman and Robin.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Explain yourself.
Listen. All right. So coming off of the Batman that came out before it, which I think is Batman Forever, or you know, that Batman had nipples, right? No one liked that. No one wanted to see Batman with nipples. Batman and Robin's Batman, no nipples. I'm pretty sure.
No, they have nipples and defined.
They do have nipples, and this was the other one. All right, so I take that back. I scratched. Nipples are great. Then I like the nipples. That's what I'm going to go with on this one. To me, this felt more like a comic book than any of the other Batman movies. Right? We won't even bring up the Nolan Batman because everyone knows it's the greatest movie of all time. Yada yada yada. It might be. It got pretty far in our ranking. I'm not going to argue it. It's a great movie.
Dark Knight's my favorite movie.
But this is funny. Like, Arnold Schwarzenegger just constantly shooting out puns. Every other line is a freeze pun.
You will know it destroyed the dinosaurs. The Ice Age.
you stole my pun. You stole my pun.
I mean, Alicia Silverstone. You see Batman. You see Batgirl. What's the dude's name in who plays Robin?
Chris O'Donnell.
I love Chris O'Donnell. When he does like the aerobatics to get across the room, to get to behind the clock, to get into the secret door, to get down to the Batcave. Come on. This is great. The fact that he's playing like a teenager, but he's clearly like in his like late 30s.
Also like Tobey Maguire playing Spider-Man.
Yeah, like did not look like a teenager at all. It's a fun movie, but it is so bad. It's horrendous. There's nipples on the bat suits. You know what I mean? There's defined buttocks. I forgot about the defined buttocks, so good call.
I didn't.
There's poison ivy. It's just a rough movie. But I'll watch it whenever it comes on TV.
Out of politeness, I will let Andrew list one next because I don't think he's listed an individual one, but I came up with another one that is very indelible and actually very, very close to my heart, but just wanted to assert myself in the queue. But Andrew,
I have a few that I can think of off the top of my head now, but I guess the ones I'll mention for now, because I started to watch one of them recently, they are terrible movies, but I kind of enjoy, or at least am entertained by, the Chronicles of Riddick series starring Vin Diesel. It's kind of an interesting world. Like, the world building is done well enough, I suppose, but like, the writing and the acting is so bad, and the stories are just really dumb. But there's something.
Is there more than one?
Yeah, there's like three of them, I think. And it has this just, it's the same reason I think I found the Daredevil movie entertaining. I didn't see the Daredevil movie when it came out. I didn't see it until last week. And it's got this early 2000s edge to it that is just absolutely hilarious to watch in retrospect. I don't know. I guess that it has that just early 2000s dumb, edgy charm. Pete's gonna have a heyday if he hears me talking about this.
I mean, you're not far off. So Chronicles of the Chronicles of Riddick. Yeah, there are
there's
three.
There's one. There's the first one is called, I think, Pitch Black, and then
Pitch
Black.
So Pitch Black has a good rating on Rotten Tomatoes, but the Chronicles of Riddick in 2004, I think, was 53% and 52%. So, I mean, you're not far off.
Yeah, the first one's by far the best. The other two are pretty trash.
Yeah. Rough. And what about you, Andrew? What was your other one?
I kind of enjoy The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. It's terrible. It really is terrible. Ooh. But again, for kind of the same reason, it has an interesting aesthetic. Like it kind of has a unique creative direction going for it that it just doesn't quite nail.
Ding, ding, ding. We got a 17% and a 44% audience score.
It's pretty bad. But yeah, I've come up with a handful of them at this point too. Mission Impossible 2 is another, I think, late entry that most people consider not as good, but it's still Mission Impossible. It's still Tom Cruise. It's directed by John Woo. Like, how can you not enjoy
eight of
it?
Them. There's going to be eight. Mission Impossible 8 comes out in 2023. Mission Impossible 7 comes out in 2022. Oh my God.
I should watch Wild. Some of these.
How about you, Austin? What was your next pick?
All right. So I am going to bring us to a new genre now, the horror genre, which, as we know, is filled with Oscar quality films front to back. Specifically, the movie and one of my favorite horror franchises, Halloween 6, The Curse of Michael Myers.
Oh, gosh. Even the name.
In which we find out that Michael Myers, who originally started in the first movie as just a guy who escaped from a mental asylum wearing a mask, who was stalking babysitters. Very simple, very effective premise. Great classic horror movie. Well, by movie number 6, we find out that Michael Myers is being driven by something called the Curse of Thorn, and there is an entire druidic cult dedicated to enabling Michael's rampage, because the Curse of Thorn is afflicted on one male of a tribe, and in order for the entire tribe to survive, the afflicted must kill his entire family.
Oh my gosh.
And in this movie, Tommy Doyle, from the very first movie, who was being babysat by Laurie Strode, comes back to fight Michael, along with the final appearance of Dr. Loomis. Just a little aside here. Tommy Doyle is played by Paul freaking Rudd.
Really?
Oh, in his very first theatrical film role, I believe.
Wow.
And so they, Michael is eventually taken out after Dr. Loomis and Paul Rudd break up the cult, and they lose and the cult loses control of Michael, and there's just a lot of really ridiculous stuff that goes on. However, I will say that it is endearing to me because I really like the design of Michael's mask, which is something that some of the other movies did very badly. The atmosphere is generally actually pretty well done. It feels very like an actual Halloween in a small town sort of feel. And the kills are generally kind of scary, imaginative, fun, if you consider watching people die brutally on screen fun, as some people with no psychological issues at all like to do.
So I'm a big horror movie fan.
Okay.
And I love the Halloween series for a number of reasons. Two fun facts about the Halloween series, right? Do you know that the original Michael Myers mask is a template of a copy of the Captain Kirk mask, mm-hmm. or of a Captain Kirk mask, I think.
Really?
That the producer had, and they designed it and they played with it and messed around with it and made it into the Michael Myers mask.
That's and weird.
Then Go ahead. What were we gonna say?
Oh, I was just gonna add to that. It was when they were choosing the mask, they were that modified Shatner mask and a like a psychotic clown sort of thing, and they kind of liked the clown because it was, you know, clowns are kind of generally sort of seen as scary or easy to make scary. But then when they looked upon the soulless eyes of a whitened William Shatner, that just puts fear into the hearts of everyone.
It does. And then the other fun fact is there are three Halloween timelines. So there's the original timeline, which is Halloween 1 through 5. All right. And then there's the second timeline, which is Halloween 2, and then Halloween H2O, which is 20 years later, that came out in 98. And then Halloween 4, which is in 2002. And then there's the most current timeline, which is Halloween 1, Halloween 2, Halloween Kills, which just came out in 2021.
Very interesting.
And then there's a Rob Zombie Halloween series, which is unrelated. So Halloween, then Halloween 2.
Yeah, Halloween is
2007, 2009.
Halloween as a franchise has a ridiculously convoluted lore.
Yeah, because they killed him a couple of times, and then they were like, you know what we should do? Bring Halloween back. So we're gonna scratch that last movie. And
oh my gosh, you thought Marvel Cinematic Universe was broad?
Well, one of the reasons is not to turn this into a Halloween discussion. But one of the reasons that things got so messed up is because when John Carpenter was forced to make the original Halloween 2, he made the decision to make Michael and Laurie Strode, played by the wonderful Jamie Lee Curtis, be related, and he attributed that to a six-pack of beer and being forced to come up with a script in time. And so for up until the 2018 Halloween sequel, basically all of the subsequent Halloween movies were somehow tied with Michael stalking his family, and that kind of took away a lot of what had made the original Halloween work, which was that Michael was just this kind of force of evil embodied in a human being. He was literally referred to in the credits as just the shape, because he is the shape of a human being but the embodiment of pure evil.
Sounds pretty bad.
It is pretty horrible.
That's the point. Well, Frankie, did you have any other movies to bring in to wrap it up, or do you want to tell people where they can find us?
I think I won with my two Wild West and the Batman, Batman and Robin.
I'll have to give that a watch. I do want to see
Give Wild West a watch. I mean, the Batman and Robin everyone's seen, but Wild West is worth a watch. I think it's a fun movie.
Andrew, let's do it.
All right.
You guys can find us at facebook.com/incrediblecritics. Hit the like button, become a part of the Incredible fam. Talk to us, watch our live streams, and comment and tell us how wrong and incredible we are, I guess, is the best way to go about that. And then the podcast app, and, you know, hit subscribe, leave a comment, help us get out to more and more people.
All right. Well, thanks, Frankie. Thank you, Austin. And we'll see you all next time right here on Incredible Critics. Well, that's a job well done, boys.
Austin, we actually don't have any fans, so I mean, no one's gonna see your kisses. You're on.